I was preparing for Father's Day these last few days, and two people came to mind. Job, we're going to turn to Job, and President Obama. Now you say, what in the world? Well, here's the President Obama part. He said a while back something that was very profound. I don't quote him often because we probably don't see eye to eye on a few things. But here's a quote worthwhile. President Obama, we know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They are more likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves. And the foundations, this statement that he made is profound. Listen to it, friends. And the foundations of our community are weaker because of it. You know what? God had a plan. Adam, Eve, children. And God had a plan in the family unit. The relationship between dads and moms, husbands and wives, raising their children, and dads and moms being there together for them is the best place for our children. And our president said as much when he stated these statistics. 20 times more likely those children that are being raised today without a dad in the home, 20 times more likely to be in prison. There's a lot of folks out there saying today that children do not need both a father and mother. There's a lot of arguments out there that children do just fine in alternative environments. And praise be to God, single parenting and so on is doing what they got to do. But I think the Bible says there's a better way. When dads and moms come together, raise their family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is the better way. And I just want to say to us today, friends, before I go to Job, children need dads and moms. There's tons of statistics that show they are the highest achievers, the best performers, and it's not to say single parenting can't do this, but consistently there are tons of statistics that remind us children do the best emotionally in society when they're raised by a mom and a dad. And so I just want to reiterate today, dads, it's Father's Day. Men, you may be a dad, you may be a granddad, you may be a stepdad, whatever your role. Do not underestimate the importance of being a dad to your children. You still with me, men? Never underestimate the importance of being a dad, that role model, that person that loves them, that is an example to them, that cherishes them. Never underestimate the role that a father has to their children. Mothers do too. We talked about that a little bit on Mom's Day. But I want us to remember and never assume, men, never assume we have no responsibility to raise our children in the spiritual and nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never assume that. It is our responsibility. The Bible is really quite clear about that. And so, I want to invite you to turn to Job chapter 1, and we're going to talk about this particular dad. I don't know if you've heard a sermon on Father's Day about Job or not. I never have, so I thought I'd start. I thought I'd have one. And so turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1. If you're in the middle, you can still see the big screen. If you're on the sides, a little tougher today because we got some artificial walls in your way. But if you've got your Bible, I'm in Job chapter 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I need to move over here so I can see the clock, or who knows what time you'll get out. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Friends, men, listen to me for a second. and everybody really, but if we take just that phrase and apply it, feared God for who He is and turned away from evil, it's a good start. It's a really good start. Here was a man, the Bible says, who was blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil, and had 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. That's a bunch of kids. Mrs. Job probably knew all that well. But Job knew it too. Verse 4. And his sons would go and feast in their homes, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be. You see what he's doing, friends? Look at this example of a dad. It may be that my children have sinned. I'm going to go to the Lord and repent on their behalf. I'm going to go to the Lord and offer sacrifices to God on their behalf. Because it may be that they've stepped out of line. And the Bible says that Job did this regularly. Verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 18, same day, same story. While he, that's another messenger, was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. He had 10 children. Now he's got 0 children. And I don't know what your response would have been had you gotten that message, even about one child. Much less about 10. But the Bible says that Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshipped. Worshipping the living God, having lost my 10 children, may not have been my first idea. Falling down to give God praise at the news of the loss of my children may have not been first and foremost in my mind. And the Bible says, of course, tearing his robe is a sign of mourning. He fell to the ground and he worshipped, and Job stated these words that so many of you know so well. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had just received the news, you had 10 kids, Job, now you have 0. And the Bible says he fell before Almighty God and praised him and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it concludes that little story. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. As I was thinking about Job's example of being a dad, being a man of God, I thought, here's a dad's dad. As a matter of fact, I was thinking Job's making it a little tough when he's setting the bar like that. Little tough for dads when you got a bar like that to look at. Repenting on behalf of my children on a regular basis. Taking sacrifice and offering them to God on behalf of my children on a regular basis. Seeking God, which is not new for you, I'm sure. Praying for your children. Seeking God on behalf of your children's well-being and their spiritual well-being. But he set the bar very high in fatherhood. Now, here's the question I have for you today. And I know it seems weird, it seems unique, but here's the question I have for you today. I want you to think about this. Dads, moms, and everybody else, can you trust in the living God when things with your kids do not make sense? You know what? Sometimes life doesn't go like you planned. Can I get a witness? It does not go like we plan some days. It goes the opposite of our prayers some days. Sometimes life does not go like the blueprint. Sometimes, whether it's our children, our spouse, our job, our future, or whatever it is, goes south, way south. Sometimes life doesn't go by the blueprint. And my question for you today, brothers and sisters, can you still trust Him when it doesn't? Will you still trust Him when it's not going well with your children? Will you still trust Him when it's not going well in your marriage? You've just lost your job. Will you still trust Him? Job did. You say, yeah, preacher, but that's Job. He was blameless and upright. And so can we be with the Holy Spirit of the God. When we've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit wants to take up living in us. And we can be just like Job. Upright before God. We have the Holy Spirit of God to help us to hang on in our faith when it seems like the tide of life is sweeping us away. We have the same opportunity that Job did to trust Him, to praise Him, even when it ain't going like the blueprint says it's supposed to go. My question today for us, brothers and sisters, will we trust Him when it's not going the way we'd like it to go? When it's not going well with our kids? When it's not going well in some other arena of life? Believe it or not, I think you're very aware, there's a lot of competition out there for your children's minds today. There's a lot of competition out there for adult minds, if you're not very careful. There's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of things they can get into. I had two of my classmates that were here in the earlier service. Two of my high school classmates were here. I thought that was pretty cool. And I reminded our first service, there was a lot of things in the 70s to get in trouble with. And it's worse today. There's a lot of things battling for our children's minds, for their heart, for their souls. The adversary is clever. Throwing a whole lot of stuff out there to grab their attention. And I just want to say to you this morning, if you have prayed for your children, or you've prayed for a circumstance, you've told your children about Jesus, you've taught them, you've prayed with them, you've loved them through thick and thin, and still they follow the world, or something tragic happens like it happened in Job's family, or they just plain outright reject you and your love and your Jesus, will you still trust Him? That's what I want us to think about today. Because you know what, friends? It happens. It happens. Some of you can give us all kind of testimony about how it happens. So oftentimes we find ourselves in the place of one of these categories. It's not going well, so we're going to have to blame God on this one. We find ourselves in the blame game. Well, God, I did my part. I took him to church a couple times. Where were you now that my kids are running in the world? We play the blame game. Or we come back and play the questions game. Why, God, did you allow this to happen? We've been there, haven't we? We play the questions game. Or perhaps even we play the bailing out game. You say, Jim, what do you mean? I say, I have heard straight from people's mouths, and I have heard from all kinds of accounts in on print. If that's how God is, I'm out of here. I've heard it. And sometimes that's how you felt. If you would have lost 10 children, you would have felt that way too. If that's how God is, I'm out of here. And my question to you today, brothers and sisters, is when things aren't going well, will you still trust Him? Will you still hang on? We sang about this was just a beautiful, some of these words in these songs today talked about our faith and hanging on. And I want to ask you today, friends, will you still trust Him when it's not going well with your children? I could tell you all kinds of stories about parents who have told me their stories about their children, from all the way from the Jim Cymbalas to the Billy Grahams, to some of your stories. And I wonder today, friends, if things aren't going right in our world, will we still trust Him? One thing is sure, dads, moms, people, prospective moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, stepdads, moms. One thing is sure, if we've never taught them about Jesus, if we've never gone to our knees with them, taught them to pray and prayed for them and encouraged them in the Lord Jesus Christ, to expect the world to do that might be a long shot. That might be a long shot. To expect the world to point your kids, my kids, our grandkids, our communities, our church kids, expecting the world to point them to Jesus, that might be a stretch. And I'm just wondering today, friends, when things are not going well in our lives, does your faith waver? Does your level of trust in God waver? We probably argue, come on, Lord, we could use a little help here. We cry out to Him in prayer and we see nothing. Then how's your faith? You see, friends, we can trust Him. Job did, and he lost a great deal. When our middle daughter was going through a series of open heart surgeries, Sherry taught her a little verse from Psalm 53 that said, really simply, when I am afraid, I'll trust in you. Psalms 56. And so maybe you're afraid of the outcome of your children because of, well, they've just said, you and your God, you can have it. Maybe you're afraid because your marriage is not so good. Maybe they've just canned you at your place of work. Maybe you're afraid because the future for our grandchildren is looking kind of bleak. Billions, trillions, and whatever the next number is in debt and spiritual and moral failure all over the globe. Maybe you're afraid, but take that little verse and apply it. When I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. And I'm just here to tell you, friends, today that Job was able, the Bible says, in all this, when he heard that news, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong, and so can we. We cannot sin against God by blaming Him, by bailing out on Him, by the excuses or whatever. Questioning Him, we can say, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, and I will praise you, Lord, no matter what. We can do the same thing. Amen? We can. And so I just want to conclude with a couple of things. Number one, this message today is not just for dads, but for those who are discouraged. Maybe you're discouraged in child raising. Maybe you're discouraged in your loneliness. Maybe you're discouraged in your job. Maybe you're discouraged in your marriage, or who knows, 100 other things. I just want to tell you, friends, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. No matter what valley we are going through, you can trust Him. And I also want to challenge you, will you trust Him when the way gets hard? Will you continue to trust Him when the blueprint may as well be tossed out because it ain't working? Will you trust Him? Yesterday I did a funeral for a very good friend of ours. His name was Pastor Don Bundy. Don pastored in this church, I don't know when, back in the 80s or 90s or something. And afterwards, Don's son, who happens to live right here in this town, and he was broken up. He's the youngest of six. He lost his daddy, and he was crying, and he said, I hadn't talked to Dad in a while. But I talked to him about a week before he died, Lauren said. And my dad said, and then Lauren began to cry again. My dad said to me, he said, Lauren, I want to see you there. I want to see you in heaven. Because you see, Pastor Don knew that Lauren sometimes maybe he wasn't ready. And the heart of this man is the heart of God. I want to see you there, son, daughter, whoever you are today. And if you have been born again, brothers, your heart is like my heart. You don't care, and I told my children this, I don't care if you're the senator or the janitor. I want to see you there. That's what I care about. And that should be the heart of every dad and mother, and even if you're not a parent, that should be our heart. It doesn't matter if we're a billionaire. What good's that going to do us in eternity? We cannot buy our way there. It don't matter if we got all the latest gadgets and toys. It don't matter if we're the president of the United States. What's matter is if we're prepared to be there. And I told this young man, who I know very well, I told Lauren, you know what, Lauren? We know the way. His name is Jesus. We know the way to be there. It depends on what we do with Jesus. He's got a decision to make, as we have, and the next generation will. What are we going to do with Jesus? That's all I care about for my children and my grandchildren. I pray for them every day that they will be there. That's all I care about. I don't care if they're a billionaire. That's all I care about for our communities, that they will be there on that day. When we close our eyes in death, we're going to go home if we know Him. But if we don't know Him, we're not going. That's all this man cared about for his son. He said to him, I want to see you there. And dads, I hope that's your heart today. I hope that's your passion. I hope that's your burden, that you will continue to pray for your children and your grandchildren and the children of this community and the children that will come to VBS and the children that are part of the next church and the children that don't go to church, because without Jesus, we're not going to be there. Let's pray. God, we praise You. You have made the expanse and the grandeur and the splendor of heaven so available. You've sent Your Son, Your only one. He gave His life, He shed His blood so that people might be redeemed. But if we just go through life and we never cry out to Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need You as my Savior, I repent of my sin, if we never surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we're not ready according to the Word. And so, Father, I pray that You would give us a new passion as dads and moms, but more than that, as people of the church, You would give us a new passion that our goals in life are to show people, when we find it ourselves, show people the way to heaven through faith in Jesus. Nothing else matters eternally. Our possessions, our health, our status, nothing else matters eternally. And so, Father, I pray that today you would help us to trust you when things aren't going well in our family or our church or our community. I pray, Father, you would help us to trust you even when they're not going well in society. I pray, Father, you would help us to trust you and to praise you like Job, even in the valley of the shadow of death. I pray, O God, you would help us to trust you even all the more. And so today, Lord, if there is someone here that's just discouraged, God, I pray you'd just give them a little extra shot of your spiritual encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that there's somebody here just finding it hard to trust you. Maybe we've had the blame game going on. Maybe we've had the questions game going on. Maybe we've had the rationale going on in our mind that says, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I should make it. Father, those aren't where you want us to be. Help us to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, and celebrate you, our Heavenly Father, and celebrate today our dads and being dads and granddads and just celebrate that role of fatherhood. Father God, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged today in you. And so, Lord, thank you. Even though sometimes our faith and our trust and our willingness to serve with you wavers, you don't change. Thank you that you don't change. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Help us to sing this little song about Jesus and go to this day and just enjoy it and just praise you and just give you glory. Even if we happen to be in a valley of difficulty, we can still trust you. Help us to get there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.